I'm Carol Hills, and this is The World. Thanks for being with us today. We want to start with some good news out of Nigeria. We've been following the story of 110 schoolgirls kidnapped by Boko Haram militants in Nigeria last month. Today, more than half of them were released and returned to their hometown of Dapchi. Nigerian officials say it's the result of the government's back-channel efforts with Boko Haram. Adobe Tricia Nwambani is a writer based in Abuja who's been following this case closely. Adobe, tell us what happened this morning. What do we know about why some of the schoolgirls were released?
The government hasn't made any information available beyond the fact that the girls were released and there was no ransom paid. That's as much as we know. It was sudden. No one expected it. But as early as 7 a.m., I got reports from Dapchi saying that they'd been told that their girls were on the way, that Boko Haram was bringing them. Obviously, I thought it was, it sounded, you know, too far-fetched to be true. 2 hours later, I got another message saying the girls had actually been brought into the community by Boko Haram militants who dropped them off and left. So there must have been some sort of arrangement between the Nigerian government and the militants that they will be given safe passage. Well, the government has said as much, that there was some sort of ceasefire agreement between the time it took them to bring the girls and we don't know when. But they've said no ransom was paid, the girls were freed, and we don't know what Boko Haram got in return.
Now, as I understand it, this happened, as you said, earlier this morning. Do we know how many girls were released and what is the status of the others who were not released?
The girls were returned in a number of trucks. The Nigerian government has confirmed that 101 girls were freed. I spoke with people in Dapchi, and the information coming from the girls is that five of their classmates died. Three of them on the way to the Sambisa Forest hideout of Boko Haram after they were kidnapped. Three of them fell out of the trucks and into the river. And then two others died in the forest from different illnesses. There's a sixth girl who refused to convert to Islam, and they said they will hold her until she converted, and she refused. So these are the six girls we know of who haven't returned.
A lot of people are doubting whether the Nigerian government paid a ransom or not. What's your sense of that?
You know, because there was so much secrecy about the ransom paid for the first two batches of Chibok girls released, the government didn't tell anyone. It wasn't officially declared. And obviously, those of us who'd been talking to insiders knew that money was paid, but it was never mentioned by the government. At some point, they said they had exchanged five Boko Haram commanders, but some of us knew, even before it was publicized, that some money had been exchanged as well. So when the news eventually broke, of course, people were put off. There were the debates about, you know, whether it was worth it, all that money. So now that the government is saying we paid nothing, nobody's believing that. I don't think there's anything the government will say now that will make people believe that there was no transfer of money or that Boko Haram didn't get something significant in return.
In the case of the ransom that was discovered that was paid for the release of some of the Chibok girls, isn't there concern that that ransom simply goes to finance other abductions?
Exactly. You know, people questioned the reasoning behind it, the sense behind it. But at the same time, you know, the government was obviously desperate and they felt the publicity coup was worth it. And we don't know anyway the full details of the agreements they had with Boko Haram when they released that money. We don't know that yet. So it's possible they were giving some concrete assurances about a new direction the conflict will take. And bearing in mind that the government is still negotiating with Boko Haram. So we don't really know everything going on. It's all so hazy because nobody, of course, is being open.
What's the condition of the girls who were released?
One of the parents described them as appearing panicked when they were first dropped off by Boko Haram militants. Initially, they were not able to respond to questions, but gradually, of course, they thawed, reunited with their families. There was a lot of hugging. There was a lot of screaming and, you know, excitement. But they're in good health. They said they were well fed. They were well taken care of. You know, typical stories. We've been hearing that from captives of Boko Haram. These high profile kidnappings, they all come out saying we were well fed. We were well taken care of. They didn't harm us in any way. So these girls are saying the same thing.
I understand, oddly, that some of the parents of the Chibok girls were in Dapchi this morning when the girls who were kidnapped from Dapchi were released. What was going on there?
That's just the most ironic thing. It's just one of those amazing coincidences. The Chibok parents had scheduled to go to Dapchi on a condolence visit. The Dapchi kidnappings happened just 4 weeks ago. So the Chibok parents were just able to gather themselves together and arrange this trip. It was sponsored by the Muritala Mohammed Foundation here in Nigeria that has been supporting the Chibok parents. So they managed to get themselves together and organize this trip a month after. They had also tried to time it with the 1 month anniversary of the Dapchi kidnappings. And they had told me just before they left, that they were hoping to encourage the Dapchi parents, tell them be patient, tell them when some of our daughters were kidnapped, some parents didn't eat for months, some parents wept for months, and we've lost 18 parents. 18 parents have died from all sorts of sicknesses related to the stress they faced when the daughters were kidnapped. So they said, we want to share experiences with them. And I had spoken with Dapchi as well, and the parents in Dapchi were expecting them and said, we hope that they will teach us how to handle the advocacy, how to deal with the local government, the state government, and even on the international level, how to keep our matter in the public eye. You know, each group had expectations. So they arrived at about 6:30 p.m. on Tuesday, couldn't meet with the Dapchi parents that late, and they scheduled to meet with them Wednesday morning. Lo and behold, they wake up at 7 a.m. only to find that the entire town is running around and everybody's excited and shouting. And they say, what happened? And they tell our girls are on their way home. So the visit obviously takes on a completely different shade. Like one of the mothers, the women leader of the Chibok parents said to me, our visit has changed. You know, she said it's become something else. Of course, for them, it was joyful watching the girls being reunited with their families. But one of them said she wept and wept and wept watching other parents being reunited with their daughters after 1 month of being in captivity, while her daughter has been away for almost 4 years and she has no idea of the fate of her daughter. So it was a bittersweet experience for them. One of the parents also admitted to me that she was relieved to know that the Dapchi girls had been returned so that the focus can once again return to their daughters and there is no distraction from the fact that these girls have been missing for almost 4 years.
Do you think the successful return of the Dapchi girls will change anything in terms of the government's strategy for getting other girls who've been kidnapped back?
There have been thousands of girls kidnapped since the insurgency started, but the only girls that are being discussed publicly and are being negotiated for are the Chibok girls and, of course, subsequently the Dapchi girls. So it's the high-profile kidnappings that make it into the news and then the government starts negotiating. What we've been made to understand is that there are two separate factions of Boko Haram that have the Chibok girls and the separate faction had the Dapchi girls. So we don't know what conversations are happening with these separate factions. I know that as of December, there were still conversations going on with Boko Haram about the return of the Chibok girls, and the government still says publicly, we're still negotiating their release. But I think the government must have been working on this because they sounded pretty confident. When President Buhari visited there last week, he told them, we'll certainly bring your girls back. So there was a level of confidence, and they have not rescued them. They have negotiated their release. We don't know the terms of that release. We hope it's not throwing money at Boko Haram. Whatever it is, we hope it was worth it.
Adobe Trisha Nombani is a writer based in Abuja. Thank you so much for speaking to us.
Thank you, Carol.